Today, we are sharing a topic entitled Vision of Excellence. Vision of Excellence. Oh, Yah, our Master, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 8, verse 9. Luke 16:10 tells us something from the Savior that is very important. Let's turn there together. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. It's very important for us to understand that the little things are what count. If you overlook the little things, your character will be such that you will overlook the larger things. Yesterday, I stopped to eat at one of my favorite places to eat. And as I entered into the entryway there, one of their signs that they used to market whatever dishes are the popular dishes for the day was not in place properly. It had been banged or hit in such a way that it had torn away from the wall and was sagging out, and the material was broken, and someone had taken a push pin and tried to put it back, sort of. And it looked real shabby. Well, I mentioned something to the young lady behind the counter, and she looked down the line and she saw the store manager. And she said, "Sir, your advertisement is loose, it could fall and whatnot." And the disappointing reaction came back. "Oh, it'll be there for a while." And then another suggestion that maybe the young lady could fix it if she wanted to fix it. He that is faithful in the least will be faithful in much. And he that is unfaithful in the least will be unfaithful in much. I was very disappointed in this store manager. For I have usually gone there and seen good, healthy food to eat. But I can see now that there is a neglect in the character of that man. And I need to go to him someday, as the Spirit leads me, and share with him what he's about to do. Because according to the teaching of Yahshua, eventually this man will begin to neglect the food that he's serving to the public. Because he's neglecting the little things about his restaurant. A vision of excellence. I have preached this and taught this to the children and to some of the church members for a long time. My dad, my natural father, was a man that was very particular. He was a man that had been in the military, a man that had become a pilot in the days when pilots were highly esteemed and honored. He was a man self-educated, He did not finish formal training. He was not a good man, and he was not a good father. But I think he probably did the best he knew how. One thing he taught me was, if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. This was a man who, when he presented himself to the public, every hair was in place. Not a wrinkle in his clothing. His shoes were shined from the sole up. And those of us who have been in the military know what the gig line is. His gig line was straight and his belt buckle right in place. He presented the best possible image he could present to the public. And I respect him today for that image. No, he was not necessarily a good man. And he was not necessarily a good father. But I believe he did the best he knew. He certainly taught me some good things. And as I've studied the Bible, I've seen Yahshua to be a man that would present the best possible image to glorify his Father in heaven. If a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. A vision of excellence. Now, I looked up the definition of excellence in the dictionary, and I actually looked in two different ones on my computer. And one of them says, excellence is the state or quality or condition of excelling or superiority. Another definition is the quality of being excellent, the state of possessing good qualities in an eminent degree, or superiority in virtue. Let's turn together to various scriptures and learn of Yah today. Deuteronomy 28, 12 through 14. Deuteronomy 28, 12 through 14. Yah shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his possession, in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And Yah shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of Yah thy Almighty One, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand, or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Many today have knelt to the god of sloth. Many today have knelt to the god of laziness. Most today have knelt to the god of it's good enough. It'll get by. Yahshua says, the Father says, I will make you the head and not the tail. I will put you above the nations. You will not be under their rule. If you will hearken unto my statutes and my commandments. Yah desires for his people to be healthy. He desires his people to be happy. He desires his people to be full of wisdom and knowledge, so that other nations will come to them and say, how is it that we can have the health that you have? How is it that we can have the success in life that you have? How is it that we can have the smile on our faces that you have on yours? Yes, if God's people had always followed His principles, if they had always hearkened unto His commandments, today they would be the head and not the tail. And we, in this last generation, are called back to that possibility. He is giving us the possibility to be the head and not the tail, if we will hearken to Him. Let's turn back a couple of chapters to Deuteronomy 26, verses 18 and 19. And Yah hath avouched thee this day to be His peculiar people, or special people, as He hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all His commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which He hath made, in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto Yah the Almighty, as He hath spoken. He wants us to be special. He wants us to be holy. And the word holy really means healthy. He wants us to be healthy in the mental. He wants us to be healthy in the physical. He wants us to be healthy in the spiritual. He wants us to be an exemplary people. He wants us to be special, set aside like a trophy, that the nations might see how these wonderful things can be done. Turn to Isaiah 9:15. Isaiah 9:15. The elder, the ancient, or elder, and honorable, he is the head. And the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. Did you ever think about it? If you do a poor job, did you ever think about the fact that you're really a liar? I never thought of it that way until I began to meditate on the scripture. If you set out to do a job and you do a poor job of it, knowingly, you are a liar. Because what you're saying, you're professing to be a Christian, you're professing to be a Yah's child, and you're doing sub-quality work. What you're really saying is, Yah is sub-quality. Yah advocates sub-quality work. Because people are going to judge the Father by the Son, isn't it? Look at someone's children. If the children have poor character, what do they say about the parents? They say, those children weren't raised right. Those parents have neglected those children. If we turn out poor quality work, what do they say about our Father in heaven? He sure must have a slothful God he serves. So we bring a reproach. We become the tail when we do sub-quality work. The head is a position of excellence. The tail is a position of dishonor. We are called to be in the position of excellence and to have a vision of excellence. If we are called to paint a wall, we can know when we've done a good job. If we're called to clean a window, we can know when we've done an honorable job. If we're called to sweep a floor. Now, some will not move, you know, there might be a carpet laying there and they'll sweep around and not even bother to pick the carpet up and take it out and shake it. And some people will even go so far as to sweep the dirt under the carpet. Slothful work. Yah's calling us to a vision of excellence. Exodus 20, verse 12. One of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yah, the Almighty One, giveth thee. Oh, yes. To do an excellent job, to have a vision of excellence, is one way to honor your father and mother. That is, even your earthly father and mother. For even if your earthly father and mother were slothful people, maybe they're dead and gone, bless their hearts. But if you do an excellent job, you bring honor upon your father and mother. And upon your heavenly Father as well. Let's turn to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Verses 2 through 4. The works of Yah are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. Yah is gracious and full of compassion. We are the sons. We are the daughters. We are the children of Yah. What is said of our Father should be said of us. And as we are truly children of the Most High, the old adage will be true, like father, like son. Yes, when we are truly born again from above, the quality of work that we produce will be that which is said of our Father, the works of our Father are great. The works of our Father are honorable and glorious and righteous. His works are wonderful to be remembered. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't it a glorious thing? Isn't it an honorable thing to see a job well done? A finished product. All of us have experienced it from one time to another. Some of us more than others. And perhaps if we've had the demon of slothfulness in us, and we've seen others do a good job, we can't help but admire it, can we? And when we accomplish a job, and we can almost hear the Father say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Don't we feel good inside to look upon the accomplishment? We all do. Proverbs chapter 2. Starting with verse 21, we'll be reading through chapter 3, verse 18. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Now, let me just take a side here, just momentarily. People quite often tell me, "Pastor, there's nobody perfect. There was only one perfect, and that was Jesus. There will be no other perfect." But they don't read their Bible very far, do they? It says, "For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it." That's talking about salvation, the new earth. The perfect shall reign in the new earth. "But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth." You see, there's the upright and perfect on one hand and the wicked on the other. "And the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." So there's the wicked and the transgressors. They're one and the same. The upright and the perfect, they are the opposite. Going into chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee." Oh, what a wonderful promise. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yah and man. Trust in Yah with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Yah and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor Yah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." My son, despise not the chastening of Yah, neither be weary of His correction. For whom Yah loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom. Wisdom gives us a vision of excellence. And a vision of excellence promotes wisdom. Seek wisdom. Proverbs 4, 5 through 8. Proverbs 4, 5 through 8. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Wisdom is the principal thing. And look at Proverbs 8, 5 through 7. Proverbs 8, 5 through 7. O ye simple, or naive, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. I still receive from time to time abominable things in my email box. Some call them cute stories. Others call them neat jokes. Some are willing to even send out religious humor as cute stories. But the mouth of Yah has no part with it. Wisdom gives us a vision of excellence. Wisdom says here, for I will speak of excellent things, not stupid things. Do we have so much time available that we play with stupid things? Let me say, there are many good things we can be doing, many upright things we can be doing, besides wasting Yah's talent of time on stupidity. Many think this pastor doesn't like to enjoy life and have a good time because I don't fraternize with stupidity. Or maybe I do occasionally, and maybe that goes against me. This preacher likes to laugh as much as anybody else, and a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And you have seen me laugh. But I will not laugh at stupidity. We must have a vision of excellence, and we must speak truth and speak of excellent things. The Christian life is to be one of a refined character. We should be able to sit down with senators and presidents, world leaders, and be able to converse. Not as some kind of big shot, but we should be able to speak with them things of life, things that would draw their interest. We should be able to speak with the man in the street. We should be able to sit down with the winebibber and the glutton, as our Savior did, and converse with them and share principles of life with a vision of excellence. Seeking what's best for them and seeking what's best for our own and ourselves. There is a promise to us in the book of James, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. Let us look at it. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of Yah, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Oh, what a nice promise it is. If you're lacking wisdom, if you're lacking a vision of excellence, ask of Yah, and He will give it to you liberally. And it says He will give it to you liberally. He will not hold back. He will give it to you liberally. Upbraideth not. He will not hold it back from you. He will give it to you as much as you can understand it. How would this work? Would this be a reasonable consideration? When you get out of bed in the morning, or even before you get out of bed in the morning, when you first open your eyes, or you first hear the sounds of nature about you, would it be a reasonable consideration to say, "Oh, Father, please give me wisdom for this day. Open before me a vision of excellence. Motivate me in a path of righteousness. Help me, dear Father, that I might not lean upon mine own understanding, that I might this day in all my ways acknowledge Thee, so that You may direct my paths." Our Savior started every day with communion with His Father, by communion with His Father. He always had the attitude, "Not my will, but Thine be done." We are called Christians. Many times we have defined the term Christian. Christian is a word that means living in Christ. Living in Christ. Living in the attitude of Christ. Christ's attitude was always a vision of excellence. Whether He was hanging a door, building a window frame, or whether He was teaching beside the seaside in parables, His was a vision of excellence. And it wasn't just for Himself. It was for those about Him that they might grasp it, that they might understand it, that they might want to have wisdom for their own good. Not for His exaltation, but for their own good. We have a promise in the Sabbath. Let's turn to Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. You know, very few of Yah's people keep the Sabbath. Yah's professed people, and very few of those who are keeping the Sabbath day are really keeping the Sabbath properly. We're going to read verses 13 and 14 here of Isaiah 58. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yah, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in Yah, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yah hath spoken it. In keeping the Sabbath properly, we have a vision of excellence. And without a vision of excellence, you cannot keep the Sabbath properly. Now, some of us take pride in the fact that we have the Sabbath day. We keep the seventh day Sabbath. Some of us even will go so far as to say we keep the creation seventh day. But do we? If we have no vision of excellence, we are violating the Sabbath. And if you are violating one of the commandments, you're guilty of all, as James rightly puts it. Yahshua says these things in John 5. Let's turn there. We'll need to move right along. John chapter 5, 41 through 44. Yahshua says, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of Yah in you. I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another? And seek not the honor that cometh from Yah only. Have you ever seen a couple of workers get together to do a job and they make a conspiracy, see? They make a covenant with each other. Don't tell. I short-circuited this. I did a little shortcut here. It'll work okay. It'll get by. Now don't tell anybody. And they covenant to do this thing so they get out of doing some work. Some people call it jerry-rigging or jimmy-rigging. Haywiring. If a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Amen? The Father records it all. You can't hide any of it. You might hide it from the boss. You might hide it from the supervisor for a while. Be sure your sins will find you out. But you will not hide it from Yah, the Father in heaven. Yes, I've haywired things. I've jimmy-reed things when I didn't have any other way to get something going so that we might get by and have what we need at the time. But at some point, that thing needs to be fixed correctly. A coat hanger has covered many sins. It's a handy tool at times when you have nothing else available. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the attitude to try to get out of doing work. Laziness, the demon of laziness. Yahshua sought honor from his Father, not from men. But in seeking the honor of the Father, you will get the true honor of men, that which you deserve. John 12, 26. John 12, 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There's a promise for you. If you will serve Yahshua, the Father will honor you. You want to make points with men? Serve Yahshua. Serve Yahshua, and the Father will honor you, and the honor will be deserved then. You don't have to try to make points with men. Try to impress men. All that will not last. That'll fade away. But get a vision of excellence. Serve Yahshua, and you cannot help but be honored. The word of Yah will not lie. 2 Peter 1:17. For he received from Yah, the Father, honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Yahshua received that praise. He received that honor from the Father in heaven. Don't you want to receive it? Don't you want to hear the Father say to you, "This is my beloved son or daughter in whom I am well pleased"? Psalm 36, 5 through 10. Psalm 36. 5 through 10. Behold, Yah is mighty and despises not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters, and be holden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work, and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. I read Job 36, and it worked all right. Now I'm going to read Psalm 36. Sometimes those kinds of things happen maybe by inspiration of the Spirit. Psalm 36, 5 through 10. Thy mercy, O Yah, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains, thy judgments are a great deep. O Yah, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O Yah! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Can you imagine going to swim in a large river? Just jumping off the bank into the water and swimming in all that water? That's the vision we have here of the pleasures there are in Yahshua. When we are keeping His commandments, when we have that vision of excellence, when we are doing the very best we know how, it's as if we had jumped into a river of cool water on a hot day and just swimming in His pleasures. That's the way He pictures it for us. Proverbs 12, 26. Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. In other words, the righteous is an excellent example for his neighbor, but the wicked actually tempts them to do evil. So why not be a good influence on your neighbor? Why not be an excellent example for your neighbor? Proverbs 17:7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. Yah expects excellent speech from our mouth. He wants us to be rid of slang and colloquial phrases and all of these things. He wants us to get rid of junk speech, junk food, junk clothes, junk places where we go hang out and these things. No, Yah is not a part of it. He's expecting a vision of excellence. And He expects us to set an example that others will learn from. Don't stoop to the ways of the world. Raise your standard up. Stand high on a mountain and let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Let's look at Daniel 5. Ezekiel, Daniel, chapter 5. We see Daniel in 5:13 and 14. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. I've heard of you, Daniel. He was honored. The rumors were out about him. An excellent spirit. Let's read about it. Daniel 6 and verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Oh, yes, the word of Yah came true in Daniel's life as Daniel labored with a vision of excellence. And it made its way all the way to the king. And he thought to make him ruler of the whole realm because of his excellent spirit. Romans 2:17-18. Romans 2:17-18. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and maketh thy boast of Yah, and knoweth His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. In other words, what Paul is saying here to the Jews is, you know the excellence of the law. You know the excellent way. You claim to boast in Yah, and you rest in the law. You know about the vision of excellence. We have no excuse, brothers and sisters. Christians know about the vision of excellence. And if they don't live in a vision of excellence, they are blaspheming. They are sinning. They are transgressing against the law of Yah. They are overcome by the demon of laziness and slothfulness, the demon of cheating, the demon of whatever gets by is good enough. Some people ought to back up. I've heard it said some people should back up to the paycheck line. How can they face the people that pay them when they won't give them a fair day's labor for a fair day's work? Philippians 1:9. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. In verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Did I make this story up about excellence? No, I'm reading it from the Word of Yah. The vision of excellence is right from the Word of Yah. And Christians, wherever you are around the world, if you're not living a vision of excellence, you're coming short. You're missing the mark. Hebrews 11:4. We're almost finished. Hebrews 11:4. I'm trying to finish before the tapes end, so that all of those that receive tapes may hear the whole story here. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto Yah a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Yah testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. The sacrifice of Abel was more excellent than the sacrifice of Cain, and by it he was declared righteous. Luke 16:10. To go back to our opening text. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And I want to say something else to you. We need to keep our word. If we say we're going to do something, we need to do it. Yah is tired of his children saying, I'm going to do thus and so, and they never do it. Or they just forget about it, put it on the back burner. I realize that some of us have good intentions, we're very busy, and we tell somebody we'll get to it, and it seems like we don't get to it because we're so busy. I think we would be better off if we just say, I don't know if I'll be able to do it or not. The things that come out of our mouth must be excellent. They must be truth. And for us to promise to do something and not do it is a lie. If I've promised you that I'm going to do something, please remind me, because I don't want to be recorded in the book as being a liar. If I have failed to do that which I told you I was going to do, rebuke me and correct me in love, please, so that I might be right in heaven. And the next time I'll be cautious about saying I'm going to do it if I don't have time to do it. Sometimes we say we're going to do something to impress somebody and make them think we're good people. We intend, you know, we have good intentions, but we just can't do it. Proverbs 22:20, the first closing scripture. Proverbs 22:20. Have I not written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? Today I would say to you, brothers and sisters, and those around the world, have I not spoken excellent words to you in counsels of knowledge about this vision of excellence? Is it opening up a new corridor in your mind? I hope it does. I hope you take this to heart. I hope you open your mind to the wisdom that Yah would want to give you, to give all of us. And let's close with this scripture, Colossians 3:17-23. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, verses 17 and 23, in closing. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yahshua, giving thanks unto Yah and the Father by Him. And verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. That's with zeal. with excellence. Do it heartily as unto Yah and not unto men. Yes, dearly beloved, we have much to do. And it's not just to please men. It's not just to please our boss at work or our mother or our father or our neighbor. Our work is to please our Father in heaven. And as we please our Father in heaven, the Scriptures say we will be honored by men. It's a law, and that law will not be broken. Let us take a vision of excellence and do our work heartily as unto Yah. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we so thank you for this lesson. We thank you for speaking to us of excellent things. We thank you for speaking to us of an excellent spirit, excellent speech. Thank you that you have given us excellent dress reform. You have given us excellent health reform. You have given us excellent laws by which to live our lives, to attain to health and happiness. Yes, you have given us excellent counsels and knowledge and wisdom. And you have even promised if we need more wisdom, we can ask of you and receive it. Let us not spend needless time with stupidity and vanity and tales and cute stories and nonsensical things. Let us spend our time cultivating the character of Yahshua in our lives. Let us spend our time meditating upon a vision of excellence. What can we do to increase the kingdom of grace? What can we do to help our Father in heaven, to relieve the work of those in the vineyard? What can we do, O Father? A famous president once said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." Wise words, excellent words, inspired from heaven. Let us ask, Father, what we as your dear children might do for you and for your children. We pray in Yahshua's name and for his sake alone. Amen. Vision.